Hello, respective viewers, it's George Mylan, so welcome back to my channel again. And in this video, I'm commenting on 75 years of the NHS. So happy birthday to the National Health Service. So it was in 1948, as the Labour Party never tires of reminding us under a Labour government that the NHS was established. Anurin Bevan, better known as Nye Bevan, that redoubtable Welsh socialist, was the first Secretary of State for Health. We're on to our 33rd Health Secretary since then. Now, the NHS has devolved. These days, there's NHS in Northern Ireland, the NHS in Scotland. Wales and England is somewhat separate. Remember in a Liverpool hospital meeting a chap from Wales, and he'd come to a Liverpool hospital for his pain treatment because that was the closest hospital to him that could do that stuff. So England and Wales collaborate at this kind of thing. I'm not sure there's any collaboration between South Britain and North Britain on that. Now, women from Northern Ireland sometimes travel to Great Britain to terminate their pregnancy, certainly used to when abortion was illegal in Northern Ireland under most circumstances, but I believe that's been liberalised. Anyway, so this has been announced with much fanfare, and the very first NHS baby was born and met His Royal Highness, the Prince of Wales, and Her Royal Highness, the Princess of Wales, although curiously, His Most Gracious Majesty, His Britannic Majesty, Charles of that name the Third, is in Caledonia today, receiving the honours of Scotland, as it were, the crown jewels of North Britain, and did not participate in this jubilee for the NHS, perhaps a pity. And I well remember the 50th anniversary of the NHS. So in Tredegar, which was Nye Bevan's constituency, there was something similar. But what happens is everybody pays in through taxation to the same pot. And then when you go to the doctor, dentist, or nurse, almost everything is free. You know, GP appointments. If you're prescribed a medicine, there's a prescription charge about a tenner. There are exemptions for children, people on certain benefits, I think the retired, but people like me have to pay a little bit for it, which is a tiny fraction of the true cost. NHS dental treatment, I think sometimes they have to pay, but there's a shortage of NHS dentists, people usually go private, and so on. So that's the way it goes. Also, some very pricey medicines, operations, don't even think about it, is free. So that's fantastic, because previously some people couldn't afford to go to a doctor, dentist, nurse, couldn't afford the medicines or the operations they needed. They suffered in agony and sometimes died. So a lot of avoidable suffering has been averted through the NHS. So it is exceedingly popular. A very high majority of Britons are in favour of it. The only somewhat political person I know to advocate its abolition was Matthew Richardson when he was something like legal officer of the UK Independence Party about 10 years ago, saying it was a waste of money and they ought to do away with it. But it's extraordinarily popular. Now, Maggie Thatcher, when she was prime minister in the 80s, she tried to assure voters the NHS was safe in conservative hands, even though it was socialist in its conception. In its functioning. It very much went against the grain ideologically for Thatcher, but despite it flying in the face of Thatcherism, she tried to assure voters that the Conservatives would preserve it inviolate. That's because she knew it was exceedingly popular, and it would be electoral death to suggest doing away with it. And cephalogically speaking, nothing has changed like that. So Labour, bang on, we're the party of the NHS. I just read some waffle by Wes Streeting, who's Labour's shadow health secretary, and comrade Streeting says, oh, the NHS is in a terrible condition, and there's no doubt there's a parlous state of the NHS with huge and growing waiting lists, a 12% shortage of nurses, a 6% shortage of doctors. It's getting worse. They're retiring. They're not joining at the same rate, and people who qualify leave very early. It's very difficult to get into medical school. I mean, I know the academic bar should be high, but people with A stars and everything, they're rejected. There's just not enough places, and on and on. They might study abroad. They might work abroad. Or sometimes if they qualify as doctors, the junior training places are not there. They go overseas to work. They never come back. And then they have to rely on agency staff, which costs a lot more per hour. And there's not the same continuity with their patients. So there are all sorts of problems. So how are we going to turn around the super tanker? But what I did not see from Wes Streeting was a single solution. The NHS is going to be saved by Labour. How? You're going to spend more money on it? You didn't actually say that. How much more? And then what would saving it be? We'll be getting waiting lists down to what level, to what number, by what date? and are waiting for certain things, waiting for an urgent heart operation. You can't really wait for that. There's some things employment's about for a memory clinic, for example. You could afford to wait for a few months or years even. It's not so urgent. So you could cut the waiting list by dealing with the trifling problems, even if things get worse at the urgent level, and just let the patients die. And, well, I suppose that solved the waiting list. They're no longer on the waiting list. So there are lies, damned lies, and statistics. And I remember when Tony Blair's administration, they really messed around with this waiting list, the hello nurse, to say that you've been seen and therefore that we're off the waiting list or whatever. So there's a nurse who's been in practice for 53 years, was there to represent the NHS at a service, and lots of people were there at Westminster Abbey, a service of thanksgiving for the National Health Service. So there we are. It's the United Kingdom's really alternative religion. Remembering there is no state religion for the United Kingdom. There is one for England, the Church of England, but not for the UK as a whole. So the future of the NHS is somewhat in jeopardy, but some people say it's unsustainable. The erstwhile Health Secretary Sajid Javid said that it is. I think Matt Hancock, William Hague, Lord Hague, the quantum leader of the Conservative Unionist Party, says, you know, it's got to change. So we're just going to have to spend an awful lot more money. There's a growing population. Diseases are now treatable, indeed curable, that weren't treatable before, so people simply died of them. They say that artificial intelligence will be the savior of the NHS, speeding up procedures and meaning we need fewer staff. So it's in a difficult situation. So there is obviously private healthcare. You can pay for private health insurance or go to a private GP anytime you want, but that's like £150 just to walk in the door. Very few people want to go to an American model, a private insurance model, where publicly funded healthcare is very patchy, to say the least, exceedingly limited, and the costs are just exorbitant. It leads to bankruptcies in a great many cases. So that seems to be totally inequitable to most Britishers. So the NHS is here to stay, but thing is, Labour just needs to throw the bank at it and worry about how you're going to pay for it later, and then spend whatever it takes to save it. But with junior doctors designing a 26% pay rise, that's very, very difficult to afford. Nurses want a 19% pay rise. Now, the junior doctors' strike is going ahead soon for 5 days. The nurses, they called off their strike. They've been bought off with money for a while, but some nurses will consider the money they got, like a couple of £1,000, was like putting a sticking plaster on a hemorrhage. It does almost nothing to improve the situation, and even that's temporary. So their financial problems, the short staffing is a self-aggravating problem. Because it's short-staffed, people are run off their feet, and they're burnt out, they can't take it, they're stressed, they fall ill, they leave, which means the short staffing is even worse, which makes it even worse, and it's a vicious cycle like that. I knew someone who qualified as a nurse, and within 1 year, one night, she's the most senior one on the ward. Other people even more inexperienced than she was. If they needed to get a doctor, it took ages, not because the doctors were you know, lackadaisical in any sense. They're far from indolent, but they're just far too few of them, and you know, they're overworked. So that they're rushed, they can't always get the things right. They're only human, they don't make the right decision. Occasionally, they err. Right, thank you so much for watching my video on the NHS, which has done me a power of good. All right, toodle pip.